Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules. Rule number one, no touching of the hair or face.
Of course. Go.
And that's it. Go. Now, let's do this.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Put my mic on!
And what's up, everybody? Happy Wednesday, happy hump day, happy Destruction 101 release day. It is Destruction 101, episode 31. I am your host, Dave Destruction Sturcio, here with another jam-packed episode. We are episode 31, man. That's a lot. We're just cruising along every week. I'm bringing you stories, promotions, sponsors, all sorts of cool shit. So thank you so much for subscribing, tuning in, thank you. Because without you guys, I wouldn't be doing this. I can talk to myself any day I want, okay? But if I could do something for everybody else by talking to you guys, the fans, the friends, the supporters, it means the world to me. We are brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network. Check them out. Check all their programming out. I am also brought to you by B Plus Player Radio with Mark Adam Haggerty and his whole crew, which I believe he's got like 9 Twitter accounts or something like that. Because I had to turn off my photo tagging on Twitter, which you can reach me at Dave Sturge. I had to. I just couldn't take it anymore. It's cool to get notifications, but it's not turning into followers. So it's like, you tag me in all this, the BBWF stuff, which is cool. You know, I'll promote you guys till I'm not working for you guys anymore. But it just gets excessive, man. You like tag like 97. I hate when everybody the Wizards do it too. They post a picture and they tag WrestlePro, and I'm in control of the WrestlePro Twitter page, and it just blows up because it was just linked to a Twitter or a tweet, and it's so annoying. It's none, no disrespect to those guys. They're hustling, they're promoting, they're doing exactly what I do. So it is what it is. Plugs for this week. Obviously, you're listening to this on Wednesday. Tomorrow in Staten Island, New York, WrestlePro returns with the Rumble for the Blue. That's our dedication and benefit show for the NYPD, or as Chris Payne calls it, the NYPD. Support your police department. Obviously, the NYPD plays such a big role in our safety every day, patrolling the busiest city in the entire country of New York. So, and obviously, Chris Payne's in the main event, taking on Bobby Wayward for the WrestlePro Championship belt. There's a lot of cool shit going on. A lot of guys are in action. A lot of girls are in action. It's a very well spread out card. Payne put it together himself. He's the booker man for this one. And so he's in the fucking main event. which is fine. It's part of the show, folks. He's the one putting it on. He shall be the guy that the spotlight is on for a day. But then the following day on Friday in Brooklyn, New York, Battle Club Pro returns. I am the commissioner, on-screen commissioner for that company. I am the color commentator for that company. So that I'm very excited about. Battle Club Pro is one of my favorite things to do because it gives me a little freedom as far as creativity. Be myself. I'm not micromanaged over at WrestlePro. I say what I want on commentary. There's nobody in my ear. But, it's just different. It's a different element. You bring in people from all over the place. They also feature the Wrestler's Laboratory beforehand, which is like a 3-match show, an hour before, and it features up and coming talent, almost like an NXT for Battle Club Pro. So it's not trash bag. It's not for whatever reason, not to get off topic, but for whatever reason, the default picture of Backyard, what is it called? Bad Wrestlers Exposed, which sometimes I'll go to that website on Facebook, look them up. They're hilarious. But sometimes they just don't get it right. I don't know who runs it, but It's pretty silly. I mean, yes, it's entertaining because some of the shit that gets exposed on there should very well be on there. You know, I'm talking people wrestling in fucking jeans and t-shirts and on trampolines and all sorts of wacky shit. But sometimes they don't really get it right. There's been a couple guys featured on there that I know train and are experienced pro wrestlers. And I don't know why they would feature the two owners of Wrestler's Laboratory as their profile picture or background picture or whatever the case may be. I'm not sure where they're going with that or why they're disrespecting it. I respect that company wholeheartedly because they're giving guys a chance to wrestle. Only trained guys only, you know, that's from what I've seen. I mean, if I'm wrong and they've let untrained guys go at it and try to pretend that they're wrestlers, then maybe they deserve to be there. But from what I've seen, I haven't seen any of that, so they might have that one wrong. But yeah, those two shows are this weekend. I'm excited about it. This past weekend, I kind of took it easy. What the hell did I do? Sunday, I did nothing. Saturday, I did nothing too. Is that possible? Yeah, because Friday I went out real late. I stayed out past my bedtime. I went to the Elks Lodge over in Metuchen. My buddy Joe is an elk over there, and he invites some of his friends. Cheap beer, can't beat it. So we're out there at all 2 in the morning drinking, hanging out, having good times, having a lot of laughs. And that's definitely important because on Friday, I went to Tiki Bar first, which I think is might be my last trip down there for the summer because I'm over it. I'm over the prices, which is like, whew, boy, if you don't pregame or you don't have a couple drinks beforehand, you are going to tear through your wallet. It is like $11 for a tiki tea, which is basically just like sweet tea, vodka, and iced tea, you know? So it's like, what the fuck is that worth, you know? That's their claim to fame down there is a tiki tea, but my buddies were slugging Corona Lights, and that was Friday day, and like, we spent so much money, and we added it all up between the whole day, and we're like, did we really spend that much money for like no buzz whatsoever? And that's the truth. Like, I went home, and I was fine, and I was able to go to the fucking Elks that night. Because, you know, I thought I drank a lot, and I didn't, and I was fine. Sometimes food saves your life, but I was fine. So Friday night went out to the Elks, and had a lot of good laughs with a lot of good friends, and that was part of my Saturday, because Saturday I kind of dedicated it. It's been 10 years since I lost my best friend, John, who passed away in 2007 in his sleep. You know, it's hard to kind of dig around and see exactly what happened, but it hits home because obviously, A, he's my best friend. I grew up with the kid. I met him when I was 7 years old playing baseball. And, you know, we had sleepovers, countless amount of sleepovers, you know, family vacations. Our families were tight. You know, just constant shit going on. I discovered Madden because of this kid. I discovered ECW because of John. I had no idea what ECW was, but he was the late guy. He freaking stayed up until wee hours of the night watching his favorite wrestler, New Jack. And I'm like, what the fuck is it? You know, like, I only knew Monday Night Raw. You know, I barely knew WCW. I still don't know WCW through and through. Like, I was always just a WWE guy. So I grew up with John, you know, did a lot of backyard wrestling on the trampoline. You know, we had our own little federations and shit. Some people still do it now at the age of 30, and I strongly recommend you stop. But we did it when I was 15, 14 years old. You know, we always imitated who we wanted to be. He wanted to be New Jack and Savio Vega. I truly don't know where that came from. But me, I was always the heartbreak kid. Shawn Michaels grew my hair for as long as I could when I was a teenager. You know, had the old butt cut like everybody else does. Had the, you know, the part down the middle. Yeah, so we were best friends all throughout, you know, my childhood and my teenage years. And towards the end of his life, we kind of separated, not a lot, but just a little. And this is why I'm like, I would never bash anybody for their lifestyles. You know, this might be getting a little deep, but John turned out to be, when he turned, I believe, 19 years old or 18 years old, there was a day where We were supposed to go to the movies, and I've said this before on my previous podcast, Thursday Night Destruction, a couple years ago when I dedicated an entire episode to him. But long story short, I was supposed to go to the movies with him and his sister and his niece. And I get to the house one day, and you know, I think he's 19 years old at the time, so that makes me 20. And you know, we're supposed to leave, and his sister was telling me, like, a little bit of a family crisis right now, but John needs to talk to you. And I was like, all right, fine. So I went up into his room. Be advised. Like, I've slept over this kid's house. He slept over mine for fucking years and years and years, and nothing said nothing about different kind of orientation or feelings towards anything else. And so I walked into his room. Another man is sitting on his bed, and I had no idea who the hell it was. And, you know, he introduced him as his name, and he's like, this is my boyfriend. And I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, no way. You know, like, this is not, you're talking John, man. John was gritty and sports and rugged and tough and all this other shit. And he's been battling, keeping this inside, keeping it from his best friend, who I've told him everything I could possibly tell a best friend. He never told me an ounce of this. So it obviously came to a shock, and I was in complete denial, thought it was a big joke, and it was true. And over the next year, he caught a lot of shit for it. A lot of friends left him. A lot of friends just dropped him by his side, including me. Not dropping him, just kind of like, what happened? You know, like, not bashing what he wanted to do with his life. But just kind of like, what the fuck happened? You know, like, why? I was more in shock. Why wouldn't you tell me? But he caught a lot of backlash from his own family. And I tend to believe, and I want to say, you know, the death was accidental. But you never know. You never know. And that's why I can't get on the side of, you know, suicide. Like, I don't know. I don't know. Nobody knows. And if the family knows, they wouldn't tell me. They would not tell me. They wouldn't let me in. I said the eulogy. I said the same thing I'm telling you now, that decisions were made when he was 19, 20 years old that some people frowned upon, and I never understood it. I didn't get it because I was uneducated, and I was, you know, when you're a kid and you're a teenager and you hear the word gay, like, ugh, that's gay. Like, that's the way you are. Like, you're creeped out by it. Me now, 31 years old, if you're gay, you're gay. That's it. Like, you like men? Okay, good. If you're a woman and you like another woman, great. Do whatever the fuck you want. You want to get married? You should be able to get married wherever, however, whoever you want. I firmly believe that. And I'm Catholic, so I don't give a fuck what it says in the Bible. That's it. Like, you love who you love. You like what you like. But back then, it was harder for me to grasp it and understand what was happening. So I made the speech and the eulogy at his funeral. I said some people frowned upon it, but it's not fair. It's not fair to judge somebody based on that. John was one of the funniest kids I've ever met in my life. He had me laughing, crying, literally crying. And I believe I pissed my pants twice in my life. And it's only because he had me laughing that hard. After his passing, it kind of sparked everything. 2007 was when I was fresh off of broadcasting school. And I was trying to pursue something. And I was telling him daily on how I was doing. And then when I told him I got hired by the Giants, he was the first one to be like, oh my God, you did it, dude. Like, you're in the NFL. Like, this is exactly what you wanted. Like, we turned down Madden and commentated our own games, you know? And I'll tell you straight up truth. I still do that to this day. If I'm playing Madden, I'm almost calling my own game. It sounds weird. I'm talking to myself. I mean, I'm talking to myself right now, you know? So it's like, it's whatever. That's what I've done. It's how much I love this shit. So he was telling me he was proud. He was like, you made it, dude. You did it. Let's do this. Like, take advantage of this, you know? And he died literally 3 days before I was supposed to leave for Albany, New York, to go to Giants training camp. And obviously I went to training camp and came back for the funeral. And I knew he would have been proud of me. And I just, little telltale signs of just him being with me during training camp and getting me out of sticky situations and watching me progress. And so I think for the last 10 years, I mean, there's been a lot of shit that's happened in my life for the last 10 years. I mean, think about it. You know, in 2007, he died. I'm working with the Giants. And then I fell off a little bit, but I never stopped thinking that I can do this. So in 2012, I finally, you know, 5 years after his death, I went to his family and I said, look, I'm going to become a pro wrestler. I mean, this is me and John's dream. We wanted to do this. You know, we were supposed to be a tag team. We loved the Harlem Heat. We loved all these tag teams back in the day. And he was my motivator, man. Like, and we knew we were going to do this together. So the fact that he passed away before the age of 21, you know, and he couldn't run with this dream, I said, you know what? Fuck it. I'm running for both of us. And that's what I did. And, you know, if you guys remember, if you're a fan of mine or a friend or a family member, you knew I wore the MMA gloves as part of my character. And some people fucking make fun of me to this day because I don't know the fucking first thing about mixed martial arts. But I had two initials stitched into my gloves. Whatchamacall? I had JD, which was him, and RS, which was my grandma Rose. And they stuck with me. That was it. Every training session, I put the gloves on. I got to look down and see his name, and it got me through a lot of shit. I've been in plenty of sticky situations over the last, you know, 5 years. That I know that if I didn't have John as my guardian angel, I'd be dead. I'd be dead somewhere or in jail. Trust me, I've made a lot of bad decisions. There was a whole year of like 2014 where it was just bad decision after bad decision because I was on pills and I was on just a miserable fucking bastard. So that's why, I mean, I know this got off on a John rant here, but that's why I tell people to just not stop, because you never know how much life you're going to get. So being out with my friends on Saturday and Friday and whenever I'm out with my friends, I truly, truly make the most of it because, you know, I'm a firm believer in four quarters is greater than 100 pennies. If you can have a good core group of friends, that's the way to live your life, man. It really is. Like, I can't stress that enough. If you have a good inner circle of people that'll support you and root you on throughout everything that you're doing, that's what you got to do. I mean, that's the people that want, you need to surround yourself with those people. There's a million fucking yes men, and I'll be the first one to say this out loud. You know, for people that are looking for likes and encouragement on Facebook or whatever, like, announce that you have a new job and everybody, or I got an interview tomorrow, and then, like, you have a million people like, good luck, good luck, good luck. You don't need that shit. You truly don't. You know, I didn't tell many people I was going to try out for the Nets. And then when I wanted to make a big deal about it, you know, yeah, sure, I'll put it on Facebook. Because I like, honestly, swear to God, recently I've seen, you know, if you go on Facebook every day and you just hit the on this day, which every time I do it, I think I edge, no matter what, on this day, I say clearly, you know, just like every time. But if you do that, you get to see what you did a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago on that day. So that's what I'm kind of doing. I'm almost treating Facebook like a journal where if something awesome happens, why not talk about it and then get to reflect back on it? Now, I also look back and see 2011 posts and 2012 posts or even 2010 posts, and I'm like, where the fuck was my grammar? Or where, you know, what was I talking about? Like, why was I acting like this? Why was I being such a hard ass for no reason whatsoever? There's been plenty of that. And I've looked at it, I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, what the fuck was I thinking? But, you know, you get to reflect back. And that's why you should do it. Reflect back. Don't look for encouragement. The encouragement should first come from within. If you want something bad enough, go get it yourself. Nobody's going to help you. Nobody's going to hold your hand. Nobody's going to instruct you on, you know, on anything. Nobody's going to fucking give you the XYZ 1-2-3 steps on how to succeed. I said it today and I posted a picture as I record this. It's Tuesday, Transformation Tuesday. I posted a picture of my 2007 run with the Giants, which some of my Cowboy fans, friends, ugh, they fucking, my boy Dom is like, I want to throw up. This is gross. So, and it is, it was. But trust me, I met all the Cowboys that year. So it was fucking, it was pretty cool. Whatchamacallit. So 2007 and now. Still trying. And I don't need anybody to tell me, keep going. I am my own motivator. If you're not your own motivator, I truly don't think you're going to succeed. And that's not a knock. But you shouldn't need the encouragement of likes and good luck wishes on Facebook to motivate you. Does it motivate me? Yes. Did I see a million people say good luck and you're the man and fucking do this and rock it and you're going to get the job and blah, blah, blah? Yeah, that, trust me, feels great. Do not get me wrong, that feels fucking awesome. However, that's not where you should be at. You should Do it for yourself first. You know, there's a lot of things going on in my life right now that I haven't disclosed. But, you know, that's not like it's secrets. It's just like I'm in the process of buying a home, my first house right now. It is the most stressful and difficult thing I've ever done ever because there's just so many parts. And now there's a fucking weed whacker or leaf blower behind me. Awesome. But anyway, it's the one thing that I don't have any experience in. I could talk to a million people. I can get all their opinions. I can get, you know, XYZ advice, but it's on me and my wife to get this shit done. You know, you make sacrifices. You gotta check your bills. You gotta check all this shit. They want to see your income for the last 3 years. Shit, man. I was making good money one time. How are they gonna feel about me taking a $40,000 pay cut to pursue something in teaching? You know what I mean? Like, it's gonna be difficult. Would a Nets employee, would a guy who works for the Nets, would it help? Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. But I'm still, you know, I'm patiently waiting on that one. I don't know when I'm going to hear from them. They told me 2 weeks. The one guy said, enjoy your summer. I'll talk to you in September. And I'm like, oh, God, How do you do that for somebody like me? I have no patience whatsoever when it comes to decision making. You know, I'm like, oh, God, please just let's do this. I want to work. I want to get there and I want to make a name for myself. I want to do all that. I want to do all that for me, but got to have patience. But anyway, I'm buying a house. I'm doing all this other shit in life and I'm making strides here and there, but I'm doing it for me. You know, I come from a product of divorce parents. Okay. When I was 8 years old, my dad left my mom. And trust me, smartest decision he's ever made in his life. And I'll be the first one to say that. He'll be the first one to tell me. Because my dad, obviously, much more successful, driven, dedicated. Love my mom to death. Still talk to her every other day. She'll still leave me a voicemail and think she hung up. And then she'll start talking to her friend, thinking that the voicemail's hung up and I'm hearing everything. She's another character. I could do a whole podcast on my mother. But you know, so do I think all marriages are forever? I guess not, right? So you have to make sure no matter what. Like, do I love my wife? Yes, I do. I have made a lot of good decisions and bad decisions in my life. One of the better ones was to marry her. Trust me. Even if there's times where I questioned it and times that I made bad decisions in, during, or before, you know, it was the right move to become a married man because it's grounded me as far as being a good human. You know, I've done wrong. Trust me. Everybody does. No married man are going to sit there and say they're saints because they're not. I don't give a shit who you are. You're not a saint. You've done wrong. I don't give a shit what level of wrong, but you've done wrong. So I don't want to hear that you're a perfect husband because there's no such thing. Except my brother. I think my brother's a perfect husband. He's been fucking flawless with his wife. But anyway, off on a tangent again. I do it all for me because at the end of the day, you only have you. You only have you as your supporter, as your motivator, as your dedicator. You have you first. Everybody else will follow. Okay, they're going to follow you regardless. They're going to follow you because they care. They're going to follow you because they love you, or they're going to follow you because it's a neat thing to do. Like a fan. Fans follow you because it's the cool thing to do. I don't know how many fans I have over friends. Typically, I mean, I think I made a big mistake early on in my wrestling career by turning, you know, fans into friends because that kind of just breaks that wall. But, you know, I'm a friendly guy. You know, it's not like I could just tell somebody, nah, I'm not talking to you. I'm the wrestler. You're the fan. Like, that's fucking bullshit. I've made a lot of friends in wrestling and I've made a lot of friends being that they were fans. And I talked to some of them on the regular. I'm not bigger than anybody else. I'm not above it. You know, a lot of guys are like that and should be like that because of their standard and how they came up. You know, you don't see Mario Bacara interacting with, you know, the fans all the time. You don't see Dan Moff interacting with fans. You see him interacting a lot with co-wrestlers, but it's not what we're doing. It's not what they do. Pat Buck, he doesn't say a goddamn word to anybody, and he'll be the first one to tell you that. You know, so it's different now. I think we were brought up different. I remember actually, you know, going back to my first match ever, the Battle Royal in September 2012, I remember. I celebrated the win. I was winning. I went into the back, celebrated the win, and then came out to greet my family, you know, which was great. They were all there cheering me on and shit. But then I remember Sammy Callahan put us in the back and just fucking ripped into us and said, what the fuck are you doing? Those are fans. You know, what are you doing out there? Like, that, those are not the people you should be interacting with. You want to sing praises? Sing it to yourselves and to each other. What are you doing out there? And, you know, kind of ruin the whole fucking spirit of the night. But at the same time, it's a lesson learned. But I'm all over the place. But anyway, yeah, so let me take a break. When I get back, I'll talk to you about this weekend's plans. Obviously, how the football has been going. Obviously, I just told you guys I'm waiting on the Nets. I will answer all your questions. Geno Gotts kicked in the head coming up right after the break. And yeah, I'll be right back, guys.
It's your boy Geno Gotts. He's back. He's 100%. He doesn't have the flu no more. But baby, I don't know. I got nothing rhymes with that. But anyways, it's show week, and I got two shows for you this week. First up, WrestlePro Thursday night on Staten Island. Not in Staten Island. On Staten Island. On that dump. That place that should be paved over, just made into a 100-lane highway so I can get to real New York. Staten Island's the place. New Yorkers don't want you. Jersey doesn't want you. Fuck, you guys don't even want you. I can't stand the whole island of yous. But we got a show. And not only do we have a show, we got a show for a bunch of coppers. Yeah, that's right. It's a police benefit. I don't know how much more benefit they need, those dirty cops on the island. They're all on the take, I tell you. You know how I know they're all on the take? Your main event of the evening? Our champion, Mr. Bobby Wayward, has to go one-on-one with Officer Chris Payne. You tell me that PBA card putting out motherfucker doesn't have something shady going on over there? I digress. And I digress because the Taboo crew is gonna whoop the shit out of the Amazing Graysons. What's so amazing about them? I mean, one day, it'll be amazing if they hit puberty. Those fucking bald cat-looking motherfuckers. I swear. What happened to the other Graysons? And they fall off a goddamn trapeze act or something? Yeah, real great, boys. There's something to aspire to. But Battle Club Pro on Friday night in Brooklyn, New York. I don't know a lot about it, but I know it's going to be a great show. I know Matt McIntosh and Anthony Bowens and Mike Werner are going to be in the main event. I think Brute Van Slyke is too, but doesn't matter because my paisano, Mike Werner, he's gonna take home whatever title they have to offer. This is Geno Gotts. Remember, folks, you're only as good as your last envelope, so keep that hustle going, baby.
Boy, ain't love a kick. Tell me quick.
And thank you, Geno Gotts, for another installment of Kicked in the Head. He gets better and better every week, folks. He's highly entertaining. Don't get it twisted. You can follow him on all his social media stuff. So what I've been doing this week, obviously, after if you're hearing this, I have been doing my morning sessions for the Franklin football team. It's different. I'm getting up early, real fucking early. And, yeah, I'm up at 6, but so it's like the same. It's like the same as what I do when I get up for school. But it's been fun. And, the kids are finally starting to respond, really starting to look like a fucking football team. It's very exciting. I'm very excited for it. But you know, it is what it is. Like, as it gets closer, I think I'm going to be working for the summer, for the remaining summer, I'm going to be working on the linebackers, and the running backs, which is different. I've never learned running back. I've never, you know, I've always been an offensive lineman, tight end kind of guy. So it's a new position. It's a very good way to learn the entire offense based on running plays, picking up pass blocking, all sorts of shit. The linebackers, definitely something new. I have to really learn defense a little bit better. I've always been an offensive guy. So that's going to come with time and patience and just knowledge and reps and all this other shit. But I will get to your questions now. Obviously, thank you so much for responding. I appreciate it. It helps fill the time because, you know, it's only so much you could talk about when, you know, when life gets a little less hectic. You know, I talked to you guys a little bit about the house and a little motivator, a little shout out to my buddy John and just all sorts of cool shit that's been happening, waiting for the Nets. Like I said, a lot of people have been telling me, you're in, you win, you got it, it's yours, blah, blah, blah. Kind of tired of hearing that at this point, because if and when it doesn't happen, I'm going to feel pretty shitty. But I won't go off the deep end. I won't fucking say, oh my God, it's over, all my dreams are crushed. Like, it's not, dude, I've been chasing this for 10 years. What's another year? What's another five? I'm still relatively young, but I am hoping for the best. I think I did very well on my finals audition. So, hey, listen, if it's not me, it better be Nick Serrano. Go follow him. He is one of the funniest dudes that I've ever come across. You can follow him on Instagram. He does a lot of impersonations, and he's really good. He does a great Morgan Freeman, a great Seth Rogen, a great Jay-Z. Go follow him. He's going to get all these follows. Like, where the fuck are these people coming from? But, yeah, if it's not me, it better be him because he brings it. And if they take two, I hope it's both of us. You tag team this bitch. So, anyway, back to your questions. J.P. Mayer. My buddy, what are your thoughts of the Dolphins signing Jay Cutler and passing on Colin Kaepernick? Okay, well, I'm on the side of the fact that I think Colin Kaepernick's record last year has kept him off of squads this year. Do I think he blackballed himself by doing the whole kneel down during the anthem thing? Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a bad PR move. I don't give a shit what you're, you know, what you're standing for or kneeling for or whatever the case may be. You did yourself a disservice. I don't give a shit how many people are like, well, he donated this money and this, that, and the other. There's no coming back from making it all about you last year when your fucking scrub-ass 49er team was 2-14 and you're the one that has to start kneeling and starting this movement across the nation. Like, why? And then I read something about how 30,000 fans are boycotting the NFL. Goodbye. Nobody fucking cares. I don't care. It's not affecting me. No, the fans are, the stadiums are still going to sell out. The ratings are still going to be extremely high. It is the NFL. They own a day of the week. Sundays are for the NFL in the fall and winter. And if you think there's just something else more important than football in the winter, check your fucking Facebook feeds. Check your Twitters. Check everything. Football is life. Football is a way of life. So 30,000 idiots are going to be, well, if he doesn't sign with the team, I'm not watching. That's fucking, that's like, sounds like you idiots out there, like, well, if Cena wins, I'm done with wrestling. Like, just shut up. Just shut up. You're making yourself look foolish, and I hope all 30,000 of you are stripped of your cable privileges, and when you come to your senses, you still can't watch. Do I think Jay Cutler is the answer for Miami? No, I don't. I think a change of scenery works for some people. I think the guy, he's known the offensive coordinator since he came out of college. That's why they signed Jay Cutler. They didn't sign Jay Cutler to spite Colin Kaepernick. Jay Cutler is probably a better thrower of the football than Colin Kaepernick. I'm saying that right now, and that's I firmly believe that. Kaepernick is a hybrid guy who was figured out. His numbers were good last year because he played bad teams. And when he played the bad teams, he still lost the games. He is a loser. Statistically, a loser. I don't want to hear, oh, we took him to the NFC Championship. I don't give a shit. I don't care. Because it doesn't make any sense. He's not a Super Bowl winning quarterback. I bet you half of you brainiacs don't know the losing quarterbacks of some of these Super Bowls. My man Rex Grossman was a starting quarterback in a Super Bowl. Okay? So Colin Kaepernick did this to himself. He took his knee. He wants to stand up for what he believes in. Fine. You did that, but guess what? The majority of the people are not going to be on your side with this. So the whole I'm not doing anything, I'm not fucking, I'm not, you know, whatchamacallit, rooting for this guy, or I can't do this. And that's the same thing that goes for the people that said, if Colin Kaepernick is signed to my team, that I'm not going to root for that team anymore. Like, I got into this debate last week with this guy. I don't even know who the fuck he is. But he's on my Facebook, and I'm pretty sure I either deleted him or just started to ignore him. But, like, you can't control what your front office of the team that you root for does. Okay? You can't. The Cowboys were full of drug addicts and just fucking criminals in 92, 93, and 95. Maybe not so much 95, but a lot in 92, 93. A lot of degenerate fucking people. Do you think that took my dad out of 30 fucking years of rooting for a team and said, I can't do it anymore. These guys are just troublemakers. They're such bad people. You don't have to root for the guy. When the Cowboys signed Greg Hardy, I said, wow, they signed a fucking awesome defensive lineman. Not, oh, they signed a fucking unbelievably fucking atrocious person. I didn't care. Do I fucking agree with what these guys do? No. Do I agree with Ray Rice? Do I agree with Mike Vick? No. But if Ray Rice is scoring me touchdowns, I'm a fucking happy Cowboys fan. You have to separate yourself. You're not the fuck. And you know, it's funny, because I used to make fun of people that said, well, you're not on the team. Like when I say we, if I talk about the Cowboys, like we won today. You're like, oh, you don't play for them. You're right, I don't. And I'm not the decision maker either. And I don't sign the fucking players either. So that actually kind of backs up the fact that, yeah, I don't play for the fucking guys. I don't. I root for that team because that's my team. So if Dallas went out and said, oh my God, we need a backup quarterback in the worst way, and we got Colin Kaepernick, am I going to sit there and be like, oh, I can't, oh my God, I can't be the Cowboys fan anymore? That sounds so dumb. And if you're one of those people, just stop liking the sport. We don't need you. And we, I mean, NFL fans. We don't need people like you. It's just stupid. You bring politics and race and all this other shit into the conversation where it doesn't need to be. Let football be football. Wow, JP, man. Fucking sparking that shit up. Raymond Sanchez, the question of the week, and I'll see him on Friday. Whew, where do we go? With the WWE coming to town in a week, meaning the Barclays Center, my home away from home, in a week, your best SummerSlam memory that you have. Mine had to be Bret and Bulldog SummerSlam 92. SummerSlam 96? 96, 97? Whenever they came to the Continental Airlines Arena. Izod Center, whatever the fuck you're calling it back then. But that's my favorite SummerSlam that I was at. There was a beach party. I met Shawn Michaels that day for the first time. That was with Bret versus Undertaker. Shawn is the referee. That SummerSlam was fucking loaded, if you think about it. Not only the main event, you had Foley and Triple H in a cage. You had, Legion and Doom were in action that night. You had Owen and Stone Cold. Like, that SummerSlam was, it has to be up there in one of the best ones. But my favorite SummerSlam, obviously, is the one that Shawn Michaels came back, unsanctioned match versus Triple H. That was also the same night as The Rock and Brock. So SummerSlams are really do have a lot of memories. This one coming up, the Fatal 4-Way is what it is. It's exactly how it is billed. I'm not a rooting guy anymore, but I would love to see Brock just kind of win, you know, with everybody like, oh, every odds against him. And he wins anyway, you know, and it kind of puts a big FU to all the marks and all the people are like, I want Samoa Joe. And like, who cares, man? Who cares who wins? I'm just thinking, like, from a storyline standpoint, I think it'd be pretty funny that if all the deck is stacked and Brock still wins, awesome. The rest of the card, I don't know how it's shaping up. You know, big show, big cast, whatever. The women's match, I still want Paige to be involved somehow. I don't know how they would work that in with 2 weeks to go. They probably can't. Maybe the Monday after she can come back. Let's see what else. I guess that's it. Like, that's the only ones that really stand out. But anyway, Jared Ross, what is your opinion of Jones versus Lesnar, or should he fight Stipe? Oh, all right, yeah. Who should fight Woodley? Now, I'm not going to get into all UFC conversation right now. As far I did talk about Jones and Lesnar, and so did you, Mr. Jared. I know you had an opinion on it, and you used the old cop-out steroids thing, which is garbage. In a fight straight up one-on-one, I have my money's on Lesnar for his size, and I don't give a shit. Like, Jones, yes, he's probably the best fighter in the world, but And just sometimes a little bit too much weight is a little bit too much weight. So well, watch those guys when they come out. They're going to look completely different people, and it'll be different kind of fight. I would love to see Lesnar and Stipe, man. Fuck, that would be fucking sick. But it is what it is. Mike Malario, do you think Joey Ryan could be a top star in WWE? Absolutely. 1,000%. I've met Joey Ryan. I've hung out with Joey Ryan. I've talked to him in length. The guy is a gamer. He knows how to go, and his character right now is more over than most. But, you know, it remains to be seen, like, what else he can do. But as far as his character, his member as being the, which actually follows into Jeremy's question, do you think Joey Ryan's secret weapon could help defeat Sharknado? 1,000% yes. 1,000% yes. If the shark grabbed onto that thing and he can, you know, penis plexum or U-porn plexum, whatever the fuck you call it. Joey Ryan's a star, and he knows it, and he's a really, really good wrestler on top of all else, and I think his character would definitely get over with the crowd. Mark Vinson, my man Mark, great photographer. What talent that's currently signed with GFW Impact Wrestling and Lucha Underground would you like to see for the first time at WrestlePro? Well, we're going to be coming. They're going to be coming in a lot, to be honest with you. The Lucha Underground, I only started watching not too long ago. I know it's severe and it's awesome. I love Brian Cage. Johnny Mundo is the fucking man. Shout out to him in Sharknado. But honestly, there's going to be a lot of crossover within the next couple months, I would assume. So I don't want to predict too much because I already know a little bit of who's coming in. So the guys that I wanted to come in are definitely going to come in. Like, I'm excited for Lashley to come in. You know, guys are going to be doing their thing. So I'm excited for all that. So, yeah. So that was all the questions for this week. I want to thank you guys again for submitting all those questions. You guys rock. JP Mayer, obviously, you had the question of the week because it sparked up all sorts of shit. It's just bothersome. But follow me on Twitter at Dave Sturch. I am at 899 followers. I would like a 900th. So spread that word. Follow me on Instagram, same thing, at Dave Sturch. Snapchat, Dave Destruction 2, to follow my everyday occurrences. I post on there every so often. And that's really it. Facebook.com/Destruction101 for all this. You can find my podcast on the Shining Wizards Network, on the B-Plus Player Radio Network, Stitcher, iTunes, Audio Boom, SoundCloud, all sorts of shit. I get a lot of listens, and I cannot appreciate it more and more and more. Next week, obviously, we'll have the fallout of Battle Club Pro the entire weekend. I think I'm going to go out on Saturday night with a buddy of mine, so that should be always good for a story. The entire wrestling weekend is coming up. I'm excited about it. Yeah, so I guess that's it. I mean, anything else? No, I think that's pretty much it. So keep fighting those, fights, keep chasing your dreams. Don't, you know, it's not sappy. It's over. It's just me trying to instill some confidence in some people that just don't have much, and they should, because if you look in the mirror, you're going to wind up seeing a lot more promise in yourself, than anybody else can give you. So, like I said, do not rely on others to motivate you. Stay motivated, stay hungry. Go visit Feed Me More Nutrition, feedmemore.com to go get your protein, your test booster, your pre-workout, all, and use Dave S10 at checkout. Definitely do that. If you're in the market for a Chevy or a Subaru, go check out Richard Lucas Chevrolet, Richard Lucas Subaru in Woodbridge, New Jersey on Route 9. If you go to Subaru, go see Greg. Tell him Dave Destruction sent you. Shout out to those guys. And, you know, that's all I got for this week, folks. So next week, episode 32. I'll try to get some clips, some sound clips from over the weekend, maybe some interviews with some fans. Come see me. Come see me. I will be in Staten Island on Thursday and Brooklyn for Battle Club Pro on Friday. Have a good weekend, guys. Some legends are told, some turn to dust or to gold, but you will